the Up North podcast. In this segment, we're going to talk about the upcoming local elections for city councils, town boards, county boards, school boards, judgeships, and more. And my dogs are very excited about this. But first, we're going to talk a little bit more about what's going on with the U.S. Supreme Court and their seemingly bizarre decision today. Crew, what can you tell us about some of the reactions to this?
Well, I'd like to bring the reaction of Eric Holder, the former Attorney General of the United States. He's been part of the National Redistricting Committee. Anyways, here's his statement. Today's court action in Wisconsin is grounded in an unprecedented process and a failure to adhere to precedent. Just last month, the court's conservative majority wrongly claimed it was too close to an election for a federal district court to remedy a violation of the Voting Rights Act in Alabama, an action that would have benefited Black Alabamans. Today, the court took a contrary position when it acted as close to the time of an election with the effect of harming Black Wisconsin voters' meaningful participation in the political process. This unprecedented act and inconsistent application of judicial power are manifestly and sadly undemocratic. I couldn't have said it better than the former AG.
Well, and it certainly is in keeping with the same bunch who said it was, you know, too soon for the Republican Senate to confirm a Supreme Court nominee during one election year. But, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's body was barely, you know, cold by the time they rammed Amy Coney Barrett's nomination through. So when they say, you know, there's no time or there's just enough time, you know, Kirk, they've kind of laid bare their game here. You can't trust that. It's BS. It's whatever works for them.
So I think we're all going to, you know, history books will show that the day that if democracy does fall, the day that democracy fell was when Mitch McConnell didn't allow Merrick Garland. We blocked Merrick Garland's nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court for like 200 days. And somehow managed. And I read today, like packing the court, packing the Supreme Court. The only person that has ever been able to pack the Supreme Court was Mitch McConnell by having an eight person Supreme Court for almost a year because he blocked a legitimate Supreme Court nominee, which would have made this situation today completely untenable. It wouldn't have happened. There would have been real justices in the Supreme Court as opposed to political hacks.
Well, and it's got to be said, though, Merrick Garland could really have redeemed this whole process if he were, I don't know, a living, breathing attorney general who was doing a damn thing. Not to say that maybe he isn't behind the scenes, but I'm tired of trusting it. I'd really like to know that there's actually something going on in the United States Department of Justice, but that's a discussion for another day. Crude, anything else on the Supreme Court decision today? We've established, you know, that the time matters not. It depends on, you know, what side of the political fence it's on. We've established it's, you know, the congressional district lines, those will stand. There's no news as far as when the state Supreme Court will take this up again. Mike, is there any indication from you that have you heard anything that indicates we're going to see some action on this anytime before April 15th when the nominating papers are supposed to go out for these legislative races?
Well, I think there will have to be expedited action. Here's what I fear. We've already seen the governor's map effectively rejected by the U.S. Supreme Court, the map of least change. But the U.S. Supreme Court didn't care about the criterion set by the Wisconsin Supreme Court in their earlier 4-3 ruling when Hagedorn ruled with the conservatives. So here's my fear. It's a binary choice. There is no porridge is perfect sort of solution to this. If we'll recall, the Republican legislative map tried to pack into 5 districts the majority-minority. There is no 6-district map. And what would seem to be indicated, this re-examination of the Voting Rights Act, what the court instructs the Wisconsin Supreme Court to do is go take a harder look and see if you could effectively get by with 6 districts. Well, that's not what's being proposed by the alternative. And I think we'll see the true colors of the court if they effectively, and I mean the U.S. Supreme Court, if effectively a 5-district majority minority map is acceptable to them under the VRA, but a 7 district map that would have majority minority is not acceptable. That would be a real change for the VRA.
There is one, there's at least one voice out there thinking that maybe the Evers maps aren't entirely dead. And Kirk, you advanced this or forwarded this to me from Law Forward, the group that one of the groups that was fighting for fair maps. And the statement ends with, to be clear, this decision does not force the state Supreme Court to draw different maps. It asks them to go back and show its work in the written decision it issued. We are confident that the evidence we provided in the record gives the justices the information they need to support their reasoning for choosing Governor Evers' maps. Crude, I'm not sure that that's the route they're going to take, and it sounds like you're not confident it'll go that way either.
No, I think they're being forced almost to take a differing decision. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know what Hagedorn said prior. He said, you know, it may be permissible, this 7 district minority, majority minority districts may be permissible, but he specifically said 5 districts are probably not permissible. He said that in his prior ruling. So if it's a binary choice, is it Evers maps or the Republican maps? My fear is they've already rejected Evers maps. We're going to get stuck with the worst case scenario, Republican maps.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention as well that something that Matthew DeFore is the state politics editor for the Wisconsin State Journal, and, you know, made note that let's be clear about what we're talking about here. We're talking about the difference between 6 districts with greater than 55% Black majorities or 7 districts with like 51 to 53% Black majorities. Every other case that's involved the Voting Rights Act has been mindful that the Voting Rights Act was put in place to make sure that you couldn't dilute that number down to 0 districts. It's probably never been used to say, oh, you have too many Black majority districts, which again just leads to the, you know, the unprecedented nature of what we're living through.
Reverse racism that was never intended by the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So, Crute, thanks for the insight on it. I know you spent a lot of time on it. We sure appreciate it and look forward to visiting again.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Have a great rest of your night here. Let's turn our attention now to the April 5th elections instead. Now, these are ostensibly nonpartisan races. They've become less and less nonpartisan all the time, especially in the social media age. But, you know, there's a whole, you know, we'll get into some of the county board races with Kirk and Sarah in a second. Let me say this much about the school board races, because we had a story at Up North News, upnorthnewswi.com, where we spoke with Heather Dubois-Bornon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network about this statewide phenomenon of Republicans enraged about, you know, the fake issue about critical race theory. You know, there's pornography in schools and in the library, whatever boogeyman they can find as a way to attack school board candidates who are supporting public education. And I wanted to say there's actually an update to the story that we posted Monday. It started with reporter Julian Emerson describing how an Eau Claire school board meeting earlier this month required a police presence because of adults acting like spoiled brats or worse. And it was a feeling of deja vu, Julian describes, because the same thing had happened at an Eau Claire school board meeting 6 months ago. Well, the update is the meeting this week needed a police presence because the school board president got a death threat by email saying the board was, quote, promoting the horrific radical transgender agenda, and that it's now time to declare war on you pedos. I'm going to kill you and your entire family. I mean, just stuff straight out of, you know, the QAnon cult. And that's really what the point I want to make on school board elections is. We are becoming more and more surrounded by zombies, and that conservatives and Republican politicians have got to stop coddling them. And so Heather is one of those voices pushing back, reminding people that, you know, ramping up conservative votes is entirely the motive behind this, create a false sense of distrust in our schools and shift attention away from the many ways we are failing to support educators and students. It is, in her words, a very well coordinated disinformation campaign. And, you know, Kirk and Sarah, I would imagine you're about to say the same thing about some of the other local races, that there's more coordination than ever on these things. And, you know, there's more than a little bit of misinformation that's being, you know, heaped onto the voters out there.
So, yeah. So Pat, what you said is all correct. And I believe that the Republican Party is using now, as a, you know, they used to use abortion and guns as the wedge issue to gain votes. Now they're using school and education, which is just abominable. So we're gonna pivot now from public school. The public school elections are happening the same time as the county board elections. We had you know, basically we had Hans Brighton Mosier on as a guest to talk about gerrymandering a few months ago, and we were completely surprised when he started talking about how there was another conservative push to pack county boards with folks that had no, that could care less about fixing the potholes, could care less about good government, could care less about making sure the water was clean, that only had one reason to be a member of the county board, and that was to make sure that the next election fell the way that they wanted it to fall, you know, at a local level. And so when we heard this as a group, you know, we all heard Hans say this. Sarah and I got back and we're like, well, you know, we got a super PAC. I think this is important. Let's think about what we can do to, you know, to try to even the playing field, to try to fight back with this thing that just seemed like the opposite of what good government and county board, you know, stuff should be. So Sarah, explain what we've done as a super PAC. You're the executive director. What have we done as a super PAC in the last 3 months to try to combat this?
Sure. So, you know, there's a lot of ground to cover. So we tried to focus on three counties where we thought we could be most effective. So we took a look at Lincoln County, Oneida County, and St. Croix. And what we did was really
basically because I'm in Oneida County, you're in St. Croix County, yes. And Hans was in Lincoln County.
Right. Well, that makes sense too as well. But the idea is that, you know, lifting up the candidates who are really there for the right reasons, you know, not to quote The Bachelor, but, you know, people who are interested in good government, in a rubber to road functional decisions of making a county work, who are there not with an agenda for any extremist purpose, but there because they understand what public service means. So we generated radio ads that are going out actually today through Election Day, and you can find them on your local radio stations that serve St. Croix County, Oneida, and Lincoln counties. And the hope is that we can turn people out to vote. This is a low voter turnout election. And, you know, with this QAnon cult, you know, if they turn out big enough numbers, they can effectively take over our county boards, which is going to be an absolute disaster. These are not people who are interested in doing the work. They're people who simply have an agenda, as Kirk says.
So, yeah, and that, let me jump in, Kirk, to say that I spoke to a school board candidate today in Brown County. And because when you mentioned, you know, the advertising end of things, and he wondered, as we were talking, why it was that the conservatives in Brown County, the activists, were like flooding this particular school district with flyers, like, you know, 20,000 flyers out there. You know, how could that be effective? The point I made to him and I wanted to make here as well is that's by intent. It's not just to get people out to vote. It's also to try to get people to not vote. And that includes making people go, ugh, this is so ugly. I don't want any part of it. And so I say, stay home. And so Sarah, that's where I want to salute you and Kirk for actually trying to get people to go out and vote. Cause Kirk, that's the only way this changes is if people go vote.
Yeah. So, you know, usually super PACs do terrible things, you know, like the whole thing about super PAC, you got the Koch brothers flooding the airways with negative ads. You got, you know, other, you know, these probably in Brown County, it's terrible negative ads. So what Sarah did was make really nice, positive ads that just said, these are the voters these are the people running for office that we know because of their history aren't doing it to screw up elections. They're doing it because they care about their communities. So I'm not above doing bad things in order to achieve the right goal. However, in this instance, we're doing wonderful things. We're talking about positive things in order to get people out to vote, in order to vote for the right people for county board.
And so I can't emphasize enough again that early voting is now underway. There is one significant change. If you have used a Dropbox in the past, that is no longer available thanks to an activist judge in Waukesha County. And so you have to go into your clerk's office to vote early, or get an absentee ballot and mail it back, or just show up at the polls on April 5th. And if you want to know what's on your ballot, if you're registered, whatnot, go to myvote.wi.gov and you get all that information. It is one very easy, very handy website, myvote.wi.gov. When we come back, we are going to welcome Kirk's head of beer sales, otherwise known as his beer Sherpa, Emmanuel Reed. Kirk and Emmanuel will tell you a story about how small-time Oneida County politics changed Emmanuel's life dramatically. That's coming up right after the break. You're up north.